Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain.
Mr. Trainer, you have an impressive record here. From the looks of it, you've managed to turn down every case in which any court has attempted to appoint you to represent an indigent client.
Your Honor, if I may.
Did I ask you to speak, Counselor? Then no. You may not. According to the dockets, you have never handled a pro bono case for this court or any court.
I make donations. I write a lot of checks for charities.
Accepting appointments to represent a client who cannot afford a lawyer is a responsibility that you owe to the bar.
And I have a responsibility to my corporate clients and my firm.
Mr. Randolph, meet your new lawyer, Michael Traynor.
Oh, hell no.
Your Honor, my practice is confined to corporate litigation, not...
Unconfine it.
Well, welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Behind the Curtain podcast. This is Paul Listick. I got to tell you, for the lawyers who listen to this podcast, I am one of them. No truer words ever spoken. I mean, there are lawyers who love to do pro bono work, and then there's those who say, I'll give you a check, leave me alone. But this area of this film is so important to address, and it's so beautifully addressed and so powerfully addressed that we need to talk about it. The film is called Foster Boy. Foster Boy. And we're going to tell you where you can see it. It's screenplay writer and longtime friend of mine is with us, J. Paul Derritani. And Jay, we're going to talk to you in just a minute about it. We have two of the stars of the film with us, Shane Paul McGee, who in fact plays the young man that this film is really all about. And then I got to tell you, and I love you, Jay, and I love you, Shane, but it is beyond an honor to have Louis Gossett Jr. joining us for this discussion as well, who plays the judge. You heard him in that clip. Award-winning actor from An Officer and a Gentleman and Roots and Raising in the Sun. I can go on, but I can't spend the whole podcast talking about you, Mr. Gossett. So welcome to all of you with a special acknowledgement to you, Louis Gossett Jr. Thank you so much. So let me start. Jay, let me start. You are the screenwriter here. You work in this area. Talk about the film and what led you to write this script.
Well, first of all, it's nice to be here with you, Paul. We have known each other, I think, 30 years. We're dating each other age-wise. But I started this film process about 5 years ago because I've always had two loves. One is practicing law, but the other one is screenwriting and writing. And I went back to school for my master's in fine arts and writing, and I had given my professor a couple different screenplays, and he said, this isn't working. What do you love? What impassions you? And I said, well, I've been taking on these cases for 30 years about foster kids that are abused in the system, and I think we need to say something about it. He goes, write that. So I did. I wrote Foster Boy, and then I wrote another draft and another draft, as you do in writing. And then finally he said, let's go take it to a producer. I think this is good. And he did, and then eventually it led to Shaquille O'Neal. And as you know, it led to the great Louis Gossett Jr. agreeing to come aboard. And the rest is history, and that's how it came to be.
Well, an incredibly powerful story, Jay. And Shane, I'll come to you. You play this young man who's gotten thrown around and from family to family. You've got some secrets that you've got to be hidden. But look, you're an actor, you're a young actor, you're at the near the beginning perhaps of your career perhaps, but the question is, playing a role like this truly had to impact you big time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And first let me start as well as saying, thank you so much for having us and taking the time to observe this film that we worked so hard on. It really means a lot to us. But yes, this was truly impactful for me as an actor, but also just as a person. I mean, I didn't know anything of this, I didn't know this was occurring in the foster care system at all. In preparation for the role, I got to speak with some really brave and amazing foster youth here from the First Star BGSA organization, and they told me their stories, and it was just heinous, horrible things that no kids should ever have to go through. So this yeah, this really rocked me, and playing this character really rocked me for sure.
And Louis Gossett Jr., I'm going to call you Louis because then I can tell my friends that you and I are on a first name basis.
You got it.
We, of course, Matthew Modine is also in this movie. He plays the lawyer, Michael Traynor. That's who you were interacting with. He was supposed to join us today. We weren't able to make that work out. But you play the judge in this film, Judge George Taylor. But you've had such a long life. I'm sort of curious, as you read this story, took part as a judge, you had to be relating to this on a lot of different levels and seeing the importance of this story being told.
Yes, I'm part of this. I'm an elder. They call us the elders, and I'm taught by my elders to improve our family and our society one generation at a time. Now, we're now in a process in this country and this world of cleaning up our ills and getting rid of our defects of character so we can grow as a people here in America and around the world. And this is smack on. So my compliments go to our writer, lawyer, for being sensitive to looking at the subjects as a lawyer, a successful and a brilliant man, to attack these problems that need to be healed about between us. Mine, of course, is racism. But that also is effective in this movie because the lion's share of those kids are of mixed or different races. We need to be one people, and this film attracts everybody should see it to learn the lessons of us. We are in this world together. We need to heal one another, and if we heal one another, we heal ourselves.
You know, Louis, you're not a lawyer. So what I related to when you, even in that clip, it's why I wanted to use it. When you have to tell Michael Traynor, played by Matthew Modine, you're taking this case. But yes. It's almost as though your character, you knew there was something underneath this story. You knew this guy didn't care. And he goes through a catharsis about as the film unfolds and he realizes all of what's going on. But it's almost as though your character, Judge Taylor, he always knew that there was more to this story.
Yes, he did, but he learns as the story unfolds how serious the problem is. And there are other serious problems like that in this country, in this world. So we're capping the iceberg now of revealing stories about our children who become abandoned. You wonder how come they wind up in the streets and in jails. This is one of the reasons. So we're healing ourselves. It's a good story about mankind and a great story about our writer. So I'm glad to be part of the family.
Jay, in terms of writing this story, you share some statistics at the end of the film. I don't think I'm giving anything away, but you do put on the screen that there's 500,000 young people in foster care, 40% of which end up homeless or incarcerated or die within 3 years of leaving the system. We don't see those statistics till the end of the movie, and I'm sorry for giving them now, but that had to be what propelled you to write this story. You're a well-known lawyer in Chicago. You're listed among Chicago's best. You do a lot of personal injury cases, a lot of other things. This was a very different story along those lines, but it was one you felt needed to be told.
Yeah, Paul, it really was. It was. I got my first case like this. I've handled medical cases, auto cases, all sorts of different cases, corporate litigation even at times. But when this case came in the door, it was the first case that it was similar to this. This is an amalgamation. The story is an amalgamation of kind of three cases put together, and there's some artistic liberty in there. But when the first case came in the door, I thought, this can't be. What are we talking about? For-profit foster care. I'd heard of for-profit, you know, we remember several years ago we had for-profit tolls and we got upset at that, and then we had the parking meters that went to a Japanese company that was making money and we were irritated with this. We're talking about children, and one of the lines in the movie that Shane had brought out the other day in a discussion was when Matthew said, you know, children aren't products. And that's what occurred to me one day. This is terrible that we have a for-profit foster care system. And that's when I'd always been, and you know this, I think you interviewed me about a play I had written, and, you know, all of that was very passionate. I like to write about human rights issues that affect us and affect our communities. But, you know, writing about foster kids and what's going on, I feel like it needed to be exposed. And with the brilliance of Shane and the brilliance of Lou Gossett Jr. and Matthew, we were able to expose all of this, and hopefully we make a difference.
Shane, in your role in playing Jamal in this story, I guess whose real name is James, but he goes by Jamal, I'm sort of curious. You're living with a lot of background. I mean, careful not to give too much of the film away, but there's a lot in your background of the foster homes your character has lived in, and you tell the story. You almost have to tell it in a certain way through rap, through rhyme, through whatever. How do you prepare for a role like this? Because essentially, you're there. You've lived through all of this, but we don't get that to unfold until an amount of time goes on. But we know there's something up with the character of Jamal Randolph.
Right. I mean, truly, for me, a big part of preparing for the character was just really trying to understand the mind space and what this person could have gone through. I haven't been through any of these things in my own personal life. So, again, it was having the ability to talk to these amazing youth and to hear their stories and to just kind of prepare that kind of backstory as to, okay, this is what Jamal would have been through, a situation like this. For me as well, I was writing a lot during that time in terms of writing raps, writing, poetry, just to prepare because he was a writer. And we actually used some of what I wrote for the audition in the movie, which was really, really cool. But yeah, I would just say it was really trying to get into the mindset of that character. And it was heavy. It was hard. Some days, I'm not going to lie to you, it was really, really emotionally draining. But I knew that, and we all knew that we had a responsibility to these kids. So we had to bring our best.
And by the way, kudos to you on your film After, which I've watched on, I think people can watch on Netflix. So great job in that, in a great growing career.
Oh, thank you.
Lewis, let me come back to you. And you know, you've had such a vast career. Are there any roles that you called upon that you've done in the past that you brought to the role of Judge George Taylor? Does it work that way? Or do you simply say every film is its own and I don't worry about what I've played in the past?
Well, there's a treasure of personal experience globally, because I've done it over 60 years. I can reach into that for the gold to add to this thing I'm doing in the present time. So, there's Women Roots and there's Enemy Mine and there's Digstown. So there's elements of all of that in everything I've done, and like some total of those elements can be used in Foster Boy. It's such a wonderful statement about mankind here in this country who are now curing some things that are ailing us in society so we can live together as it's promised, one nation under God, indivisible. We're sensitive to one another now, and it's not going to go back. It's going to go forward. It's very positive and a great compliment to this country, especially the young folks, to once and for all cure our ills. And this film is in the point of the arrow in that direction. So I'm very grateful to be part of this society, and more the better. We need it.
And Jay, I just have to ask you about the casting of this. I mean, look, you didn't grow up in Los Angeles surrounded by Hollywood celebrities and all that kind of thing. You're a Chicago guy. So how did the casting to get a legend like Louis Gossett Jr. and Matthew Modine, an up-and-coming star like Shane McGee, did you reach out? Is there a casting person who said, hey, I think I can get Louis Gossett Jr. for this?
Well, you're 100% right. I didn't grow up in Hollywood, and I'm a Detroit and Chicago boy through and through. So, sometimes Hollywood can chew you up and spit you out. And we made a few offers in the beginning, and we didn't get some folks that I won't mention. That was fine. It wound up working out. But then I wound up talking to someone who's become a friend, Robert Ulrich, and Robert is a great casting director. And he brought some names, and he's very collaborative, and he brought some names to me. And originally he wanted to go to James Earl Jones, and Lou loves telling this story because he says he was second fiddle, and he really wasn't. Because I think we thought Lou was not available, because I think he had another role, but something happened, but he could finish it, that thing. So he went with James Earl Jones, except that James, I think, hit the flu or something. He hit, I don't know what I guess I should say, he couldn't do it. And I said, let's go to Lou. Would he say yes? He's a legend. And he did. And I got to tell you, Paul, Lou, Matthew, all of them took a haircut because we didn't have a big budget for this film. And they said they did it on principle. And I think the time they put in and everything, they probably made a few bucks an hour, not nearly what they're worth or what their normal price is. But with regard to Shane, we wanted a new face, a young guy, and we decided to audition. And we auditioned, and starting with they submit, you know, the resume and how they submit it on tape. We looked at 1,000 different people, and it narrowed down to 100, 50, 20, and then we're down to 3 or 4. But basically, as soon as I saw Shane, I knew that we wanted him. And Shane is, I mean, he is the next Denzel. He is the next, he's the next Tom Hanks. He is a leading role. He is going to be a fantastic actor long after I'm gone. And then, you know, the rest goes with Robert Ulrich. He got the amazing Matthew Modine. He got Julie Benn, Lex Scott Davis, Michael Hyatt, you know, Evan Handler from Sex and the City. So he got some really solid actors who came into this with no ego, with just kind generosity. And one of the pleasures I'm going to take to my grave is the times that I spent on set with these guys. It was really fantastic.
Well, and I do want Lewis to know that I was not one of the people that turned down the role so that they came to you. That I can tell you. But let me ask you this, Lewis. We'll do run with everybody, and then Jay, I got to get some key dates from you because this is just coming. I mean, nationally, we're getting it seen. I know the pandemic posed a lot of problems for everybody. But so, Lewis, when people see this film, and a lot of people may see it just because they know you're in it. But that being said, what do you want people when they leave the theater or you know, however we watch it these days, what do you want people to feel when they after they watch this film?
I want them to feel that these are roller sleeves, stuff, some more digging about our society, the stuff that's gotten rust on it, and be active like they already are with Black Lives Matter, et cetera, and make our society better as we discover the things that are wrong. To light a fire under the public, which is what our entertainment industry does, inform them about the things that we need to do and have them done. So we, it's like Marshall McLuhan's, the medium is the message.
And by the way, I'm going to get Jay to produce a version of The Odd Couple, and you and I are going to play those roles, if you don't mind.
Let's go.
Shane, let me come to you. Look, we've all been talking about that you're a young actor and stuff. You're not that young, but that being said, as you look forward in your career, how do you think you'll look back on Forrester Roy with all the plays and movies that are going to be in your future? Already Jay has referenced twice that he's going to be dying. So given the fact that we might not be around, how will you look back as what role this film played in your career?
You know what? I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but I'm going to be damn proud. I'm going to be incredibly proud. I am so unbelievably honored to be a part of this project. And for me, that's what this is about. That's why we do this, is to be able to use whatever God blessed us to help and to change the world and move the needle in some way. And I hope I'll be able to continue to do more projects like this, but this has set the bar for me.
And Jay, and I have to tell you, Jay, I watched this movie twice, and even more impactful the second time. In fact, I was just, I don't know why, it even blew me away the second time, maybe because I was not as concerned about catching the plot and all that and just watching the depth of performances. But give us some key dates as we're talking now, because people, I'm sure now that they're listening to this, saying, I got to see Foster Boy, so how and when can they?
Well, you can, first of all, starting tomorrow, the 24th, you can see it if you want to go to the theaters at the IPIC in Barrington and the IPIC in Bolingbrook. The IPIC in Bolingbrook, I think, is on the one on Fulton Road. And then also Music Box is having it as well, but that, I think, you go to the Music Box website and then they give you a code and you can see it virtually. So you can see it on your own screen that way. And then also it'll be available starting tomorrow as well, released on VOD. So it's Amazon, iTunes, I think some of the other platforms. So, you know, we'd love for everybody to see it and let us know what you think. And also see more sites on fosterboy.com for listing of other theaters if you're not from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I know
yeah,
you're exactly worldwide at this point, Paul.
Exactly. It's playing all over the country, I know. It's an amazing film. It just is. And for the Chicagoans to know that this was, you know, came out of the mind of a guy living in the system, and certainly Chicago, I'm sure, has a lot to say about Foster. Well, let me ask you, the Foster system in Chicago, is that one that needs to learn a lesson from this film?
Oh, my God, yes. I was just handling a case yesterday, and I was in deposition, and I'm working on a case in which Samaj Crosby, in which a little child was buried in a couch, and they had signs and symptoms far earlier that would indicate that they should have known that this child should be removed from this situation. And they ignore the pleas. They ignore it repeatedly, DCFS, and there's still privatized foster care in Illinois, and there's privatized foster care, I think, in 26 states in the United States. And children aren't products. And it's one thing to privatize this as well, but they're taking the dollars that the state gives them, and they're not spending nearly as much, and they're violating the rules and regulations that DCFS has, and they're supposed to, under the contract, follow those rules. So you've been a lawyer for as long as I have. You know that. You got to follow the rules, and they're not following the rules. And it's a messed up system, and we need to improve it.
You put those issues right on the front burner with this film, and I thank you for that. J. Paul Derritani, screenwriter and the brainchild for whom Foster Boy is. Thank you so much. Fosterboy.com is where you want to check on this. Shane Paul McGee, again, great work in this. This can be great for your reel, I can tell you that, as you go on to other films, because you are just wonderful in this film. And Louis Gossett Jr., you are always legendary in every performance, and you and I need to do lunch just so we can do that.
All right, man. So who's going to pick up the check?
Oh, Jay's going to get, we're sending him the bill.
You got it.
I'll pick it up. It's okay.
He's listed as one of the best lawyers in the country. Are you kidding? He can afford a lunch.
Well, that's my main man. We've only just started our relationship. I look forward to more conversations with him. He's one of my heroes.
Yes.
I love him a lot. Best of luck with Foster Boy. Incredible film. And I thank you all.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.